Okay. Namaha. All obeisances. Shantaya. Unto he who is above all material qualities and completely peaceful, or unto Vasudeva, the super soul in every living entity. Gauraya, unto the fierce forms of the Lord, like Jamaghagnya and Nrsingadeva. Mutaya, the form of the Lord as an animal, such as the boar. Gunadharmane, who accepts different qualities within the material world. Nirvisheshaya, who is without material qualities, being fully spiritual. Sanjaya, Lord Buddha, the form of Nirvana, wherein the material qualities stop. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Jnana Kundaya, who is knowledge or the impersonal Brahman. Cha, also. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudeva, who is all-pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Nrsingadeva, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Brahadeva, to Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, to Lord Buddha, and to all other incarnations, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, within this material world. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. You can repeat. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudeva, who is all-pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Nrsingadeva, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Brahadeva, to Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, to Lord Buddha, and to all the other incarnations, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, within this material world. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the previous verses, it has been described that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, He accepts innumerable forms to favor His devotees and kill the demons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as there are like waves of the river. The waves of a river flow incessantly, and no one can count how many waves there are. Similarly, no one can calculate when and how the different incarnations of the Lord appear, according to the necessities of time, place, and candidates. The Lord appears perpetually. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, text 7, Yada, yada, hi dharmasya, glanir bhavati bharata, avyutanam dharmasya, vidatmanam srijamyam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion. At that time, I descend myself. In the material world, there's always the possibility of deviation from Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Krishna and his devotees always act in various forms to curb such godlessness. Even impersonalists who stress the knowledge feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead want to merge in the effulgence of the Lord. Therefore, here the word Jnana Gunaya indicates that for atheists who disbelieve in the form and existence of the Lord, all these various incarnations appear. Here the word Jnana Gunaya indicates that for atheists who disbelieve in the form and existence of the Lord, all these various incarnations appear. Since the Lord comes to teach in so many forms, no one can say that there is no God. The word Jnana Gunaya is especially used here to refer to those whose knowledge has become solidified by dint of their searching for the Lord through speculative philosophical understanding. Superficial knowledge is useless for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one's knowledge becomes extremely intense and deep, one understands Vasudeva, Vasudeva, Sarvam, Iti, Sa, Mahatma, Sudur, Labaha. A jnani attains this stage after many, many births. Therefore, the word jnana, gunaya, is used here. The word shantaya indicates that Lord Vasudeva is situated in everyone's heart but does not act with the living entity. Impersonalist jnanis realize Vasudeva when they are fully mature in knowledge. Vasudeva, sarvam, iti, sa, mahatma. Alright. Namashantaya Goraya Muldaya Gunadharmane Nirvisheshaya Sangyaya Namogyana Gunaya Cha. Om Ganat Madandasha Gananjana Svakaya Chakshur and many time. Yena tasmai shigurve namaha. So here the various incarnations of the Lord are being described, and then some of the incarnations, as mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in this verse, the Lord is preaching either impersonalism or voidism. And of course, as we know, Prabhupada came to the Western world to deal with this impersonalism and voidism. And this impersonalism and voidism, especially this nirvishesha, is quite interesting. I was just in Charlotte, and I was speaking to someone who I've known for, let's say, the last 30, 40 years. So this gentleman retired, and what he does, he engages in silent meditation. But it's not just silent meditation for one day. He goes 60 days without speaking, reading, or communicated in any way without any with any other human being. Pretty interesting, isn't it? 60 days. Actually, he has a retreat. He's a teacher. How can you say teacher of science? But anyway, so he's a trainer or something like that. What? No. It's like Buddhism. He's Hindu, but he doesn't call himself Buddhist. So they lock themselves in a cell for the whole day. They eat twice a day, and they're not allowed to communicate or anything like that, and for 2 months. And I was thinking, how is that possible? 2 months without speaking, you know, reading anything, chanting. But his other friend said, it's quite interesting, the other friend said, even after he comes out, he's still the same person. Yeah, because I asked him, I said, what's the purpose of doing this? To make the mind peaceful. Well, it doesn't work. Because when he still comes out, he's just as materialistic as he was before. He used to own hotels or something like that. It's no one that any of you know. Just some friend of a friend. So anyway, so you may ask, you know, why is Lord Buddha teaching this? And actually, Lord Buddha didn't teach it. Lord Buddha basically taught some preliminary things. I mean, even though he's portrayed by the so-called Buddhists as teaching no God, and even they talk about one particular seminar he gave, the seminar at Deer Park, that where he talks about no God, but there's absolutely no indication in the seminar, and there's basically a transcript of the seminar, that he decries the existence of God or talks about voidism. And Buddha just basically, he does do some negation. I mean, the same negation that we do, which is material world is suffering. Suffering is caused by attachment. Give up the attachment, then the suffering goes away. And then the method to do that is the right living, right thinking, you know, the Eightfold Path of the Buddhists. So it's basically a psychological thing. So Krishna, as Buddha, does not teach something that's, let us say, void or impersonal. Krishna, as Buddha, is basically teaching some preliminary psychological techniques for being peaceful in the world. Not like the modern techniques that people teach, like there's, of course, mindful meditation, all these things, which have become popular. It's quite interesting that over the years, I've experienced that different things like become very popular, different methods of exercise, you know, oh, this is different, we go in, I'm not going to mention any names because some of you may get offended, but there's different types of exercise that become popular, then another type of exercise becomes popular, and one type of yoga becomes popular, another type of yoga becomes popular, one type of dress becomes popular, you know, just the fashions like that. So, anyway, so Buddha, and actually, Zen Buddhism was quite popular in the 1960s and 70s. You know, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Buddha never even talked about that stuff. You know, what is the sound of one hand clapping to achieve Satori? So basically, you may ask, you know, why does Krishna teach some preliminary thing? Or why does Dattatreya preach impersonalism, as Prabhupada says here in the translation? This is actually to attract people to him. And as we see with Buddhism, even though they have a philosophy or whatever, or they don't have a philosophy, or they have a philosophy that can't be understood, still 90% of the Buddhists, they worship Buddha. You know, they have a little, I mean, even in America, because they have this laughing Buddha type of, you know, statue of Buddha with a little big belly or something like that. And so they're being tricked to worship God. This is Krishna's great mercy. It's because even if they have a little statue of Buddha in their house, not understanding what he is or who he taught or what he taught or anything about his life, excuse me, even without that, they're making spiritual advancement. Like Prabhupada, he instructed us to distribute these deities of Gornatai door to door. He called them happy dolls. So even if they have some incarnation of God that they don't understand anything about, they make spiritual advancement. That's called the Gyata Sukriti. So this is the purpose of these various incarnations of Krishna. One of the purposes of the various incarnations of Krishna, as every species of life, Prabhupada says elsewhere, that Krishna appears in every species of life, and also here in the purport, it's like waves in the river. That means unlimited, even more than every species of life Krishna appears in. So one of the purposes is that we're all attracted by different things. Like, for example, because of our modes of nature, we may be in the mode of ignorance. And in the mode of ignorance, we like violence and killing. So therefore, as Prabhupada translates in the word-by-word synonyms, you have Parashuram. That's Jamadagnya. That means Jamadagni's, you understand, Jamadagni's, that means Jamadagni's son. And Parashuram, and he killed the Kshatriyas, and there was rivers of blood and lakes of blood. And so, if you like that, there's something for you. In other words, there's something for everybody. Just like if you at least previously went to Baskin-Robbins ice cream, there's so many different flavors. I don't know how many different flavors, 33 or something like that. So there's different flavors of Krishna's incarnations that attract everybody. I mean, I was just watching a video about one boy. He went to a Hovalam, he's a great Nrisimha Bhakta. And he was, I mean, it's an interesting video. I would never do this because Nrisimhadeva is not my primary focus. Although, I like Lord Nrisimhadeva. And we should keep him on the altar because he protects us and he helps us destroy the anarchas in our hearts. But, it's not my primary Ishtadeva. So this particular individual, Lord Nrisimhadeva, is primary deity. So there's this nice video of him, like, even going underwater to see this deity. Anyone seen this video? Yeah. He goes underwater, like, and comes out, and this deity's underwater, or just right above the water in the cave, which I would never do. There's snakes, there's all sorts of creatures, there's bats, and going in the cave, because he's so dedicated to Lord Nrisimhadeva. And so that's his particular attraction. Now, I'm not saying he's in the modes of nature, it's just everybody has a different attraction. Like if one likes sporting activities, if one likes fighting, if one likes loving things, like loving exchanges. I mean, if one wants to hear about romantic things, then you can read about Krishna's pastimes. So there's something for everybody. And so the Buddhists, they actually worship Lord Buddha because they like that. They like to sit and just meditate. And they worship him. So that's one reason why Krishna appears in these various forms. Another reason why Krishna appears in the various forms is to enjoy these particular modes of nat modes, not of nature, but no modes of enjoyment. Because the three modes of material nature are there, but Krishna is not under the three modes of material nature. He is nirguna. But these three modes are actually reflections of the different activities in the spiritual world. I mean, for example, passion in the material world indicates, loving exchange. And so in the spiritual world, there's loving exchange. Or goodness, Krishna plays his flute, mode of goodness music, transcendental, or ignorance, killing and everything like that. So all these different modes are actually coming, like everything else is, from the spiritual realm. As Krishna describes in the 15th chapter of the Gita, that everything in this world is a reflection of those things in the spiritual world. And Krishna enjoys all this variegatedness. And another reason why there's this like endless incarnations is because there's endless variegatedness. As Prabhupada said, that variety is the mother of enjoyment. Like in this world, sometimes we're getting bored. I just got a letter from a disciple yesterday. He said, "Gurudev, I'm bored. I have no attraction for material life and I have no attraction for spiritual life." I could say become a Buddhist then. That sounds like Buddhism. Or voidism, sorry. So that means basically, if someone says they're bored, they need to experience more variety, especially the spiritual variety. And they're not hearing enough about Krishna. Because if you hear enough about Krishna, I mean, there's all sorts of different things you can enjoy in the philosophy that are so variegated. In the books of Prabhupada, I mean, it's like sometimes you can hear the classes of Reed Ananda Maharaj, and then he does these analyses. Every Bhagavatam class he does, that he does analyses on each and every word, right? So, if you like that, you listen to that. Or if you just like someone to talk about the various pastimes of the Lord, then you listen to someone give a class. So that there's just like you go in ISKCON Desire Tree, you got all this selection of these different devotees who are giving classes. And each and every one has a particular mood. I mean, yesterday I listened, for example, for a few minutes to one of Ravindra Prabhu's classes. He was giving a very traditional class from the Madhurya Kadamani, talking about the different correspondences between the verses in the Shikshashtaka and the stages of devotional service, and how anarthas come and how to get rid of anarthas. Very, very, you know, traditional, nice class about these things. And so it wasn't exactly pastimes. In other words, there's something for everybody. There's something for everybody in Krishna consciousness. You know, if you're real brainy, then you listen to Ridhananda Maharaj's class. And otherwise, and if you really want to hear like Braj pastimes, then you listen to someone who's in Vrindavan. Like Dina Bhanda, you listen to some of his classes. So there's variety. I mean, there's no reason that anyone should be bored in Krishna consciousness. And as far as external service, there's so many varieties according to our nature. If you like to manage, you see I don't. But if you like to manage, there's variety. There's management for you. I mean, just like, for example, in some of the areas that I'm GBC for in Europe, I'm co-GBC with Prahlada Maharaj, and he really likes organizational charts and just reports and all this stuff, you know, which is good, which I don't like. But anyway, he likes those things. So I said to him, all right, you take care of that aspect and I'll just be chummy with everybody else. So we each have our own likes. You know, it's different. We're all different. You can't just fit a square peg into a round hole, round peg into a square hole. That's materially and spiritually. So there's no reason for boredom in Krishna consciousness. And you have all these different incarnations. And all this different service. You know, some people like to do deity service all day long, which is nice. Some people like to do construction. And it's not that one is better. It's not that one is better than another or worse than another or more elevated than another. But you got to find something so that your mind is completely absorbed 24 hours a day. Something that you wake up in the morning and you think about. Of course, you also should think about chanting Hare Krishna. But something you dream about. Last night I had a dream, actually, of doing deity service, but I was kicked off the altar. Anyway, I was trying to address the deities. I mean, it's just nice. So you dream about that. And I was trying to address the deities, putting ankle bells on Radharani. Nice dream. And then the pujari came up, who should remain nameless, and said, you put the wrong one on the wrong legs. Could have been, but it wasn't. And then so I had to switch, and finally the clock was running out, you know, time, and I hadn't even put on the ankle bells by the time it was time to greet the deities. Yeah, you know, time, so, you know, I kept trying to figure out how to put the ankle bells on. So, I mean, that's what I'm indicating is if you're absorbed in service, that's what happens at night. 24 hours a day. I mean, you're never bored because there's always something to do. It's always exciting. And if you're not feeling exciting in Krishna consciousness, you're improperly engaged. You know, you're doing something like Arjuna. If he was just to engage in meditation, he would be bored. Like Krishna said that to Arjuna, that by your nature, you're going to be forced to fight. So the business of the spiritual master is to engage people according to their psychophysical nature. So if we see people, you know, we as leaders or whatever, see people that are like either bored or, let's say, angry or snappy or something like that, it may indicate they're not properly engaged in Krishna's service. Because one should wake up in the morning enthusiastic. Like I said, we have all these incarnations. I mean, my God. My God. Yeah. And all this different type of service to do for Krishna. It's just like, You know, it's like filling the cup, so there's no room for ink, as Prabhupada said. Of course, who would put ink in the cup? So really, that's the point, this variegatedness. And here we see Gajendra offering obeisances to all these variegated incarnations of the Supreme Personality. God, it's very exciting. So any questions or comments? Yeah, any questions, comments, arguments, problems? How can we understand in the
Supreme Lord, he wants to teach impersonalism and voidism?
Well, he doesn't want to teach impersonalism and voidism, but people are already impersonalists. He comes so that they would worship him. And makes, you know, they're already impersonalists. Actually, Buddha didn't teach impersonalism and voidism, although the modern, like I made that point at the beginning of the class, but Dattatreya did. So, because you're already impersonalist, okay. So here's the supreme impersonalist. And you start to worship him. And then after a while, as Prabhupada says here, quoting twice from this verse, is that Vonam Yanmanam Ante Yanabamam Prabhupada Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sutra. After many births and deaths, one understands, because one's performing the Sigyata Sukriti, you become attracted to Buddha. Like what do they chant? Buddha Sharanam. What is that verse? Buddha Sharanam Gata, something like that. And I forget exactly what it. I surrender to Buddha. That's one of the mantras they chant. So Buddha's God. It's a name of God. They're chanting the names of God. I mean, it's quite wonderful. Varahadev, Buddha, Dattatreya. I mean, I've even seen some of our Indian congregation they have deities of Dattatreya on their altar. What? Yeah, they have deities of Dattatreya. So that's wonderful. Like Prabhupada said, even if you have deities of Gaura-Nitai in your house, you don't know or think know what they are, and you think they're happy dolls, you know, bring good fortune, you make spiritual advancement. So Krishna is very kind like that. There's some incarnation for everybody. You know, Buddha, Dattatreya, Jesus Christ. Even if they don't understand his philosophy, they're worshiping him. And he's merciful. And it will take many, many births and deaths. So it's not that Krishna makes people impersonalist by teaching impersonalism, but he's attracting people who are impersonalist because people are naturally inclined. Like this particular individual I mentioned before, who's doing this 2 months, 60 days. I mean, so intense. I could never even think of doing that. I mean, even one day without speaking, without reading, without chanting, no chanting, no reading, no speaking. You can eat. You know, how do you tell people what you want to eat? Like that. You know, it's just weird. It's just weird. So, but people are attracted to that. And because people are attracted to that, then Krishna gives them a specific incarnation that, you know, becomes their worshipable deity. It's quite kind, isn't it? Like if the Buddhists didn't have Buddha, they'd still be impersonal. They'd still be voidists. But what would they do? There'd be no chance for any advancement. You know, so, I mean, there's something for everybody. If someone likes wrestlers, for example, they can worship Krishna's devotee, Bhimsen, right? One reason why the Mahabharata is presented like it is, you know, in the context of a fight and everything like that, which it was, you know, it wasn't the context, but the reason it's so popular is that people are passionate in this world. Love stories. I mean, there's love stories in the Mahabharata. There's violence in the Mahabharata. There's trickery. I mean, there's so many things in the Mahabharata. Well, that's why it's attractive to people. Like if you just had a story about Brahmins, who would read it? Like once upon a time, this Brahmin, he meditated. And he was in the mode of goodness, and he felt peaceful, and he was detached from his wife. You know, she said, "Do you love me?" And he said, "I love all living entities." Quite boring, isn't it? He never kidnaps any women, you know. He never kills anybody. It's just like, what a boring book that would be. Isn't it? And then he goes back to Godhead and lives happily ever after in Krishna's abode. Hare Krishna. End of book. So that's why Bhagavatam is filled with these stories of kings. I mean, a lot of stories of kings, of animals, of, you know, the violence there, you have wars, and the Mahabharata, the Bhagavatam, because that's what we're attracted to. We're not attracted to the mode of goodness so much at the present time. And that's why Krishna comes out in the various incarnations. You know, someone's an impersonalist, someone's a scholar, someone's a fighter, someone's whatever, you know. And even Krishna attracts the animals. Like probably another time, Prabhupada said that Krishna appears in every species of life, so the animals in those particular species will be attracted to him, which is interesting. Of course, the animals don't read the Bhagavatam, but, you know, I guess there are other animals that associate with him. And Krishna has devotees that appear in demon families, so the demons will have good association. I mean, why did Prahlad Maharaj appear in a demon family? I mean, Krishna's pastimes. But then he gave the demons so much good association. So Krishna's very merciful like that, in terms of where his devotees are, in terms of how he descends the various incarnations. So, yeah, you know, let's say someone's an impersonalist. Right, here's a deity you can worship. Yeah. So we have a deity for everybody, isn't it? And we have service for everybody in the temple. There's no reason anyone should ever be bored. That was the point I was making in Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
Swami Leonard is writing, but it was a book he had already written, and it was like very down to earth, and he was bringing up the different points, and so the point of boredom came up, and he said that these are symptoms. He was thinking about selfishness, that we have this these anartas in the heart and the selfishness, and so that when we experience boredom, that we have to be introspective and see, am I not caring enough to give Krishna to other people? Am I not concerned with the happiness of the other devotees and the welfare of others?
Yeah, that's an elevated stage. I'm talking about for us ordinary devotees. For us ordinary devotees, it means we should be doing something we'd like to do for Krishna. Yeah, that's how Prabhupada would engage us. What do you like to do? Do it for Krishna. You like to, you know, like we had the ladies, they like to do flower vases. I don't like that. It would drive me crazy if I had to do flower vases. You know, flowers here, flowers there, but people like it. I'm not saying it's bad, it's great. But it's a different nature, isn't it? Like sewing, you know, if I had to sew deity outfits and do flower vases, I'd be jumping off the dome or something like that. Or shopping, you know, going to Loy Bazaar and shopping for the... you know, just... It's not for me. But we all have things that are actually specifically attractive to us because of our psychophysical nature. Okay, on that happy note, I want to thank everybody for joining us. We had over 10 people. What's that?